You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. We got a big timer, Camille Clement, joining us tonight. Just talking to her a little bit before we came on. Summer of 2020, year of 2020. How would you describe it for the folks out there? Not the norm.
Definitely different, I guess. Yeah, it's weird. It's still pretty busy for me, but it's really weird without AAU. And it's really sad, honestly, as it is my last year and everything.
So you mentioned AAU, and I've been seeing it's starting to pick up a little bit here and there, but for the Firecrackers, I mean, you play for the Firecrackers, right? Team Firecracker, not happening right now.
No, so my dad actually runs the program with his friend, and we generally don't play in Maine other than we have a Firecracker tournament normally to, like, kick off the season, but obviously that didn't happen this year, and then so they just decided, like, it's not worth risking injuries and everything, like, we wouldn't really be seen much if we stayed here, so they decided, like, let's just wait it out.
So what are you doing to keep busy? I mean, obviously still getting in the gym, doing the social media, so you're still getting it in. So you're still hooping at least.
Yes, I've been training with Ben Tier and Keegan Highland. And then I've been working out at Live Vital. They just reopened. So I'm finding a way to get some stuff in, but not the same.
Not the norm. All right. Glad you mentioned Keegan. Keegan's coming on the podcast next week. Ben's here, has been on the podcast, so it's a family affair here.
Yeah.
So we'll get more into it in terms of what you're doing now. I want to go back and try to trace your history a little bit. But let me give the full introduction because I kind of just jumped right into it. So I was just doing my research. Mm-hmm. Bangor Daily News, all third team was a sophomore. Bangor Daily News, all state, second team was a junior. Portland Press, all-star as a sophomore and a junior, heading into your senior year. Currently the number two ranked member of the class of 2021 behind Emily Archibald. So stat class and at Greeley. So also we've had a bunch of people on from Greeley as well. So I want to go back to where it all began. So you mentioned your dad runs the Firecrackers, obviously grew up in a basketball household. So just explain to the people what kind of household you came up in. Obviously got some older sisters as well that some people might know. So let's just hear the backstory a little bit.
So I started playing basketball pretty much when I could walk. I grew up in Falmouth, and we built the house. So my dad actually built a mini gym in the basement. So I was constantly trying to keep up with my sisters, and just we had a hoop that could go really low, and then we had a 10-foot hoop as well. And so I was just, like, trying to do everything that they could do, and they were in there all the time. So that's kind of when I started getting into basketball. I can't remember not playing ever. But so I watched both of my sisters playing growing up and loved it. My dad played for a couple years at Colby. My mom actually was offered a scholarship for basketball, but she didn't take it. She took a track scholarship instead. And my aunt, she actually just stepped down, but she was the Duke basketball coach. So it's just really been in my family, and, like, it's all through my blood. So I really don't know any different, I guess.
And you're kind of glossing over some of these names. So obviously you mentioned the Duke coach, and she's a man. I didn't know that was a relation, so that's pretty cool. But go ahead and give your sister some love, because, you know, some of the older folks, you know, may recognize those names. Go ahead and give your sister some love.
All right, so both of them went to Macaulay. One's named Allie and one's named Sarah. Allie scored her 1,000th point, I think, as a junior as well. I'm not positive. Maybe senior. I don't know. And she was Miss Basketball as a senior and 2-time Gatorade Player of the Year her junior, senior year. And she won the state championship all 4 years. And then
no big deal. No big deal right there.
Sarah is, she played a couple of years, but she tore her ACL twice. So she didn't achieve as many like basketball awards, but she won the state championship 2 years in a row. They played together.
So obviously you mentioned growing up, it was kind of just in the household. You kind of took a liking to it just by being around it so much. And I'm guessing that you went to your sister's older games as well, right? I'm guessing you were that kid in the crowd.
Watching I was some the great... water girl.
Oh, for real? Okay. And those are some great Macaulay teams. So you've been surrounded around great basketball players and just great basketball teams pretty much your entire life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like when I was water girl, it's funny. I was actually Anna DeWolf water girled with me a little bit as well. From Macaulay, and so we water girled for like Becca Knight, Allie, obviously, Alexa Coulomb, a bunch of really good players, and it was just fun. Like, I was so excited to get to high school because it was such a fun environment.
How serious did you take your water girl duties? Were you all about it? Were you there? Like, did you?
Oh yeah.
Routine? Okay.
So I was locked in. It was funny. I thought it was like really my job.
What do you remember about those Macaulay teams? Obviously, you won four straight. So, were you more so just happy to be there as a water girl, or do you remember like just being like in awe, like wow, these are some great basketball players. These are some great girls. I want to do this when I get older.
Kind of both, honestly. It was a lot of fun. Always, I was super excited. I'd get to the games. Very early, and I'd go in the locker room with the coaches before and hear the pregame speech. And it was so fun. Like back then, they still had, they called them like the Holy Wars against Chevres. And the gym was like always full. And like, I remember when they played Chevres, you couldn't get a seat. You had to, the JV game was full. And so it was just really, really fun, and I loved being a part of it. I always wanted to be there, and I honestly was pretty certain I was going to Macaulay to follow in their footsteps until we moved in my eighth grade year.
So I want to talk about before you got to high school. So what was your earliest organized basketball? Was it AAU? Like, were you pretty much in the AAU thing from the jump? To come later on. What's your first organized basketball experience?
Well, I played for like the Falmouth FYBA, so like youth basketball. I played on the fourth grade team in second grade, and obviously I did like the second grader like park court whatever, and then yeah, I started Firecrackers. It might have been when I was in second grade as well. Maybe it was, yeah, because I think I was a practice player in like for the fifth grade team or something, fourth grade team maybe. And then I started playing with like Brooke Obar, Jules Colby. They were two of the first on that team along with me.
So you mentioned kind of playing on like teams, obviously a little bit older than what you were. I'm guessing that's just always been the case, having older sisters kind of beat up on you and just being exposed to that at an early age. It kind of helped your development, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually really weird this fall when I played with my age group for the first time, because I've always played up except for like for middle school basketball. But I always played up with like a year above, sometimes 2 years above. So it's been really fun, and it's always been a challenge because they're all like physically, they've always been just like stronger than me, taller than me, you know, like being younger. It's fun, but you're also like the little kid on the team, and right. People aren't looking at you super intimidated because you're a big post player, you know?
So you mentioned some of the girls you got into basketball with early that turned out all right, Jules and Brooke. Who were some of the other girls that you came up with through the Firecracker program?
Lexi Middlestat played with us for a little bit. I saw you just did a podcast with her.
Yeah.
Maggie Whitmore. I played with Mackenzie Holmes, Faith Blethyn, Anna DeWolf. Gracie Martin. Those were later on. But yeah, it was, I was on a team with Maggie, Jules, Brooke, Gabrielle Wiener, Emily Huntington from Chevres, Madison Blanche from Scarborough. And I'm definitely forgetting more.
A lot of talented names, though. It's unbelievable. I mean, I've been talking about this a lot lately on podcasts. It's like how many talented girls there are in the state of Maine, like top to bottom, like all the way from the county all the way down to southern Maine. There's just so many talented girls. Playing with such talented girls, obviously, you know, you're just trying to fit in at that age and just kind of blend in. Going into high school, what were your realistic expectations? Obviously, you've been playing up in competition. Getting to high school is going to be the same thing coming in as a freshman. What were some of your realistic expectations coming in as a freshman at Greeley?
I definitely wanted to make an impact, and I wanted to start freshman year. And I always, like, after watching my sisters and stuff, I dreamed of winning a state championship, which was actually on my birthday, my freshman and sophomore year. But I honestly didn't have a ton of expectations. I tried to just go with it. But I knew I was going to have a lot of fun playing with Brooke, Anna, Julia. Those were probably three of my closest friends my freshman year, like on the court. And I just had so much fun playing with them. So I just kind of wanted to fit in with them and not look like I was, like, you know, your stereotypical freshman who is still figuring everything out.
Yeah.
So
when Anna came on the podcast, she mentioned how she fangirled over your sister and how she just wanted to be just like your sister. She wanted to win four straight state championships, go out like that. I'm guessing you have to have some of those same thoughts too, like coming in, like, if my sister won four and both of my sisters have won state championships, I want to come in and win state championships all 4 years. I'm guessing that was something that was going through your mind, right?
Yeah, we've always been super competitive, whether it's like playing in the driveway or doing a shooting game. I mean, it can be like cornhole or ping pong. We're just super competitive. So I always looked up to them, but obviously I hoped I'd be the best of the sisters. So anything that they did, you know, I would in my head be like, yeah, that's awesome. And I'd be so excited for them. But in my head, I'd also be like, all right, so like, I got to do that too, or I got to take it a step further. So yeah, it's definitely different when they're your siblings. You don't fangirl as much. I mean, obviously you're the biggest cheerleader and everything, but it's just more like your reality. And my sisters have both had a lot of success, and I didn't want to be left out of that.
So what do you remember most about that first state championship? Is there a particular moment or a game that kind of stands out when you look back at that first one? And not a bad way to kind of enter high school basketball by winning a state championship.
No, not bad at all. I remember more of the regional final against Brunswick, because they were our big rival and they had beat us earlier in the season, because Anna was out for a few games because she got hurt, and we lost on a buzzer beater, and that was like the worst thing. It felt awful, you know, like trying to make up for Anna's not being there, and like it would almost be like, it was just like, yeah, like we're still gonna go as hard as we can, like we're still gonna try to beat you even without our best player. And we lost at the buzzer. And so then we met them again in regionals, and that was just such an amazing feeling. We beat them, and I just remember, like, it was one of the happiest moments. And then that's the same with states, but we didn't know the other team as well, so it wasn't as much of a like rivalry, I guess, but it was so fun. It was really cool because we won and then the boys team won right after us. And so like, it was just a great night for Greeley, and it was really like fun to win, obviously, and then to have our boys team win as well. Like, it was just, everyone was so happy, and like the bus ride home was so fun.
So I've been asking this question a lot lately because I've been having a lot of state champs on. I've been very lucky in having some very talented folks on the podcast, and I didn't get a chance to cut that in the net. So I don't know what the experience is like, but how about for you as a freshman, just trying to fit in and having seen your sisters climb the ladder and cut down nets? What was that experience like for you? Did you have any idea what you were doing when you were climbing the ladder, or were you like, oh God, I just want to get up there, do my part and get back down? What was the experience like for you?
Well, I really didn't want to fall, and I really didn't want to mess up cutting it.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't want to be the person stuck up on the ladder, like right. forever trying to get their piece down.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was more of just like, couldn't wait to get up on the ladder, but also was like definitely ready to get right back down before I made a fool of myself.
So obviously, you know, playing AAU at a younger age, you get to be around a lot of talented girls coming into, and it's a different environment. And then coming into high school basketball, you know, it's rivalries, it's high school gyms and stuff like that. What's like the biggest thing you saw in growth in yourself that freshman year from start to finish? You mentioned just wanting to kind of fit in, obviously yeah. did that and more. So what was the biggest, change you saw in yourself from start of the year to the end of the year?
Honestly, I just had to adapt to playing against, other really good players. You know, playing in practice against, Anna and Julia and Brooke, definitely wasn't always the most fun because it was a challenge and, you know, it was like, oh crap, I have to guard Anna. It's not fun, but I knew it would make me better. And so definitely, I just think I grew more as a player. I kind of went in and was more overall my freshman season known to be like kind of just a three-point shooter. And I started, as the season went on, started learning how to do other things, you know, like driving once in a while. Not all the time. I still like to shoot. But, yeah, I definitely just learned how to, like, kind of adapt and, like, when a good player is on you, like, how to still get the ball, how to still make an impact, even though they're taking your, like, preferred option away.
So, obviously, you guys brought back a lot of talent your sophomore year, and you guys went through and won it again. What's the biggest challenge defending versus chasing the championship? What's the biggest difference having that target on your back that you noticed and you felt that sophomore year?
Honestly, it's obviously awesome because it's like almost a pride thing. Like, wow, like we've earned people to have, like, for there to be a target on our back. We've gotten this far. But it's also kind of a curse because you go in as the top seed, you have a lot to lose, people know you won the year before, there's so many like expectations, and you just kind of feel a lot of pressure because, you know, it's, you're not the underdog anymore, you're not like the people chasing it, and you have a lot to lose. So yeah, I definitely say that's what it is, just knowing how much you have to lose. And I mean, my freshman year, I saw how much it pained the other team. I saw how awful it was coming so far and then falling short. And I did not want to feel that. And in the locker room, Anna and Brooke and Katie, our sophomore year, everyone was saying, like, look, so Anna's sophomore year, Brooke's freshman year, like, guys, we know what it feels like to come so close. And then how my dad would say is, like, plant the flag. Like, you climb to the top of the mountain and you want to plant the flag. And they were saying, like, it is the worst feeling in the world. I never want any of you guys to feel it. And we were just so determined to not feel that, because they talked about it, like, dying almost. I mean, It's like awful to think about, and you can't do anything after it's over.
Right. So you mentioned being surrounded by a bunch of talented players, some of the upperclassmen that were in front of you, and coming in as a freshman, it's more so fitting in, and you did that. What did you take away most during those first 2 years being surrounded by the talent you had there? You know, what are some things you took away from it? What are some things that you maybe saw growth in yourself just by watching them or being surrounded by them? Like, you know, you can't help but get better when you're surrounded by talented players. What did you take away being around those talented players?
Honestly, you can just see a difference in how much extra time they put in, and like how much more they almost want it. Because obviously, like, everyone wants to be good, but not everyone is willing to put in the effort to be good or great, I should say. And I could just tell, like, it was the extra things, whether it was after practice, doing a few sprints or getting shots up before practice, after practice. We would have Saturday morning practices, and I would get to the gym, and like Anna and Brooke were already shooting. Like, they had been there for an hour, and it just really was a good example for me to see, like, if you want something and you want to be good, like, you're going to have to put in a lot of effort. You're going to have to do the things that other people aren't willing to do.
So I want to get to your junior year in a second, but I kind of skipped over a question I meant to ask earlier, because we talked about how you kind of grew up around older sisters that made tournament runs. So you were at tournament games. Obviously, you've made tournament runs. I think here in Maine, like, when it comes to high school basketball, the tournament's special, right? And if you play high school basketball, you want to get to the tournament, you want to be in those games.
Everyone's like, there.
Yeah. So what was it like for you actually, you know, getting a chance to play in the tournament, having seen your sisters play, being surrounded by it? I mean, that's what we all chase, I think, being from Maine. Like, what do you take away most from being in that tournament environment?
It makes me actually appreciate Maine, because there aren't, like, not all states have like a huge showing for like women's basketball and everything, and like you can just see like the community we have and like the support. I remember looking over and seeing just like our whole town would be at the games. I mean, it was so fun. It was just, everyone was there, and it was like, you not only want to win for yourself and your teammates, but you want to win for like your town, as they're all there. And like, you just feel so much support. It's really surreal, honestly.
And the other thing I wanted to touch on too is, so you mentioned growing up around the McCauley program and how great that program was. And now I feel like Greeley's doing the same. You look at, you know, who's coming out of there. You guys have had two missed basketballs in the last 5 years. Brooke was a finalist this year. You got to be one of the favorites for next year. What is it about Greeley? Well, what is it about that program that's just pumping out such great talent right now and great teams? What do you think you guys are doing right that maybe other people should take notice of?
I think, again, it goes back to the community. We take a lot of pride in, like, being role models for the younger kids. And, like, every Saturday morning we're doing clinics with them, just trying to keep them involved, keep them interested. And I know a lot of them are just like, they dream about playing on the basketball team someday. And I think we just really try to encourage that. And I don't know, I guess it's a lot of just like getting everyone involved. And
you guys are doing something right, because you guys are pumping out a ton of talent, ton of great teams, and you guys got great gear. I just want to mention that you guys got a bunch of nice Nike gear. I will say that. Look yeah, good, play good, really basketball in a nutshell right there. So coming into your junior year, obviously you lose some talent, coming off back-to-back state championships. You still have Brooke there, but obviously your role had to grow. What was the biggest adjustment for you coming into this past year? Maybe taking more of a role in the offense or a leadership role. What was the biggest difference for you this year?
I definitely think we needed to fill, like, obviously Brooke was a returning captain, but we needed more people to put in, like, effort for the leadership role and everything. And Katie Fitzpatrick did a really awesome job of that this year. But in terms of playing on the court, like I said, with my freshman year, it was just people know my game now. People are used to playing against me. They know what I prefer. They know I'm left-handed. They know I like to shoot. And so it was just really kind of being able to do more. Like, if they take my shot away, that's okay. That doesn't mean, like, I'm not going to be able to do anything with the ball. I guess it's just more of filling in the other pieces of my game, you know, like, even though I don't love it, working on defense. we just had a lot of, Anna was an awesome player, but when she left, there was obviously a ton of holes to fill. And I think a lot of it was just figuring out how to almost replace what I was doing before. So
obviously one state championship freshman year, second state championship sophomore year, didn't quite get it this year. How hard is it defending back-to-back championships? You mentioned sophomore year, just having a big target on your back. Guessing that target was even bigger this year, right?
Exactly. Like, you know, you have the people who want to see you succeed, but not more than their success. So it really turns into more like rooting, not even necessarily for the other team, but against the team that's already won, not once, but twice, because you don't want to see them do something that you haven't done. I mean, obviously not too many people have won one state championship, but a lot more have won one than two.
Right.
And so, that was definitely really difficult. It's so much more people wanting to see you fail than seeing another team succeed.
How much is that feeling your off season right now? I mean, obviously you want to get better. Obviously you're going to go play at the next level, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But how much is not winning a state championship this past year just fueling you? And how much is it in your head? Like, whenever you go work out this summer, like, are you constantly thinking about that? Is that just always in the back of your mind?
Not always, honestly. I try to keep it fun and just enjoy what I'm doing. But definitely hard to not think about. And, you know, everyone's watching to see what's going to happen. Like, are you going to fight your way back, or are you going to, like, be like, oh, well, we had two. That was awesome. It definitely fuels me, and I just really, really don't want to have that feeling in, because it's honestly awful. I understand what they were saying before. I mean, it's the worst feeling.
So obviously coming back for one more year, trying to win a state championship again. I'm thinking Miss Basketball has got to be on the short list of goals too. Got to be one of the favorites there. What are you working on this summer? You mentioned working out with Ben's here. We see you work on your handles, trying to add some more to the game. What else are you trying to add to your bag of tricks for next season to come back just primed and ready to go to get a third championship?
I keep like saying the same thing, but it really is just once again building on to my game, you know, adding different things like ball handling, which has never been my strong suit, cutting, reading defenders. Getting my shot off quicker, just kind of taking almost everything to the next level. Instead of going high school speed, now when I train, it's got to be college speed. It's got to be, like, high school speed isn't going to cut it anymore. Like, there's a difference with how hard you go, almost, which Keegan keeps reminding me. he'll say, like, all right, like, that was good if you're in high school, but, like, let's go pick it up. Like, you got to do it. You got to train like you're in college now, like you're about to go play college, because it's going to make that transition that much easier.
And you are going to be transitioning here after your senior year. And I think I saw the sweatshirt. Right? I think you're rocking the school right now, right? So yep. Heading to Northeastern next year. So curious, what was the recruitment process like? When did they reach out? What were some of the earlier schools? I always like to hear this because I didn't get this treatment. You know, it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to go there, and I went there. I didn't get courted by schools. So, tell us when you started getting looked at. What were some of these schools, and how'd you narrow it down to Northeastern?
So I got my first offer in eighth grade from Marist, which it definitely helps when my sister was there because they were more aware of who I was and everything. Yeah. And I liked that school a lot, actually. They were in my top in the end. Anyway, and then, you know, a lot of letters, but and camp invites, but not as much like, we want to talk to you on the phone. But I talked to Columbia. I looked into William and Mary a little bit, but they actually had someone commit my grade, my position a little bit, like right after I started talking to them. Talked to Siena a little bit. I got an offer from Holy Cross. And then Northeastern, obviously. And I don't really know. I just kind of got on campus and I guess it was hard. My top two were definitely Marist and Northeastern. But it was definitely a balance of how much I wanted to follow in my sister's footsteps. Because she's a great person to like follow in their footsteps, but I also at some point need to kind of go my own way and figure things out for myself, be my own person. So that was definitely like, I didn't want to always, freshman year, sophomore year, even sometimes now, if I am in the paper or anything, it's like Miss Basketball 14 maybe.
Yeah.
Miss Basketball, younger sister, or a lot about like being her sister, and it's awesome and it's really cool to be able to be like, yep, like that's my sister. But I also want to be able to kind of create my own path and find my own way. So I really liked the coaching staff there, but I talked to the Northeastern coaching staff, and it couldn't be a better fit, honestly. When I talk on the phone with them, it's like not just a quick like, hey, how's it going? It's like an hour long talk. Like you can't stop talking. And then I went to campus. And I liked it a lot. Allie was actually playing there. So it wasn't as like, give me a look at the school. It was more like, oh, Allie's playing there. And I liked the gym a lot. There honestly wasn't anything that I didn't like initially. And then as I got closer to the staff, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Went back to campus, stayed with a girl on the team. And I was like, wow, like there's not anything really not to love here. Everything seems great. All the players are super happy. And so I talked to my parents. I was like, I want to commit. And so they came down on the train, actually, and they got lost, and it was a big pain. Yeah. We're not used to the city being here in Maine. And I committed, and since then I've still been super close with the coaches, obviously closer. But, yeah, it's honestly just the most perfect, ideal fit. And I couldn't be more excited. I would be sitting in school and – I remember texting my mom one day. I was in English or something. And I was like, Mom, like I'm going to Northeastern. And she was like, what? And I was like, I don't know what's coming over me, but I know that's where I'm going to go. Like, I know that's the place for me. And after I visited there, I honestly didn't really visit other places. Like, the coaches would say to me, so, like, what's your list right now? Are you going to visit any other schools or whatever? And they're like, yeah, maybe. And then I just didn't. And I knew it was kind of my gut telling me, like, this is where I should be.
There we go. You know when you know. And now you know. All right. So, obviously, got to get through one more year before you get there. Things are tough right now, trying to stay game ready. You mentioned no AAU for you guys right now. How do you stay game ready? Like, how do you stay game ready this summer with COVID conditions here? Like, how are you gonna keep getting better and get ready to play at that level with the challenges that are presented to you right now?
Honestly, you just kind of gotta find a way. And I know for me, I'm super lucky, like I said, to be able to train with not one but two of Maine's best trainers. I guess I've trained with Keegan in the snow outside. I've trained with him in the rain, in the wind, where like it's pretty frustrating because you're like, wow, my shot's really off, but a lot of it really is just the wind.
Yeah.
And then just doing things other people aren't willing to. I've done a couple of hill workouts with Keegan at 5:30 in the morning, which are terrible.
Yeah.
I'm playing against, I've been training with Peter Sihogis. He's from Yarmouth. And it's just really good for me to train with a guy and just, because in general, they are more athletic. They can jump better. And so it's just, again, pushing the tempo. And then with Ben, it's been awesome, honestly, because that we've been able to train because he's had a gym and he's just such a hard worker. He's willing to come down every day. I mean, it doesn't really matter the hour of the day. He's here a couple times a week and he'll motivate me definitely throughout. And, you know, text me and be like, hey, like, you don't want, like, if he sees something that should motivate me online or, you know, all that competitive stuff and just like, hey, do you want this to be the outcome or do you want this to be the outcome? So I guess it's just, like I said, finding a way. I've been doing spin classes outside once in a while, just doing kind of anything that I can, because you can't do too much.
Shout out to Ben too. Ben's probably putting the most miles out of anybody in the entire state right now. This dude's everywhere.
100%. 100%. It's
putting in work.
He's such a hard worker. It's really awesome, and I'm really fortunate to get to train with him because, you know, he has a lot of people that want to, and he doesn't have time right now, and he definitely gives it his all. He doesn't do anything halfway.
Absolutely. Another thing you mentioned too, which I've heard from a bunch of the girls we've been having on lately. You know, part of this podcast is not only to get to sit down with some of the top players, but also provide some inspiration for the next generation coming up, provide some secrets and stuff like that. And we talked about how Maine just produces a ton of great girls basketball talent. And you can be from literally anywhere in the state and you can go play at the next level. We produce girls every year doing that. And one thing you mentioned, which I think a lot of girls that are successful also do, playing against boys. So yeah. just explain to maybe like younger girls out there who are watching, like, and they want to get better, the benefits of that. How does that make you better?
So as frustrating as it is in the moment, it ends up being really good for you because, guys just move kind of different than girls and they're oftentimes a lot quicker, you know, a lot stronger earlier on. I mean, obviously way more of them can dunk and, you know, all that stuff. They're longer. You know, playing one-on-one with them, it doesn't really matter if you score 1 point or you win, you know, you're learning to compete at that same tempo and, it's a lot quicker, honestly. The game in general for guys is a lot quicker. So you just got to learn to adapt. And if you can compete with them, you're going to most likely be able to compete with girls. Not to be sexist or anything, but you know, they in general are gonna be a little, I'm trying to figure out how to put this, you know, like you see more guys be able to just go play pickup than you do girls. A lot of girls, you know, it's, you really got to learn, and guys can just oftentimes pick up a ball and shoot around and end up being pretty good. So honestly, as frustrating as it is, it'll end up being really good for you. Because you just learn to play at their speed, and you got to learn how to get your shot off around someone who's a lot taller than the people that you'll most likely be playing against.
There you go. Secrets from one of the best right there. Everyone who wants to get better, find someone bigger, faster, stronger than you. Can't help but get better by going up against people like that. So another couple things I want to touch on real quick. So we mentioned AAU playing with the Firecrackers. And along the same lines, there's just a bunch of talented girls from Maine. And you mentioned how you guys don't really play any tournaments in state. You guys go out of state for your tournaments. Mm-hmm. Do you guys, when you travel out of state, do you feel like just natural, maybe not hate, but do you feel like you guys are slept on coming from Maine? Like, do you hear it when you travel places? Like, oh, like we're just playing the team from Maine.
Yeah,
we guys wind up going out there and kicking their ass, basically.
Right, like. Yeah. I remember there was someone who asked, like, if we drove tractors to school. We were like, are you serious? Yeah. Like, no, we're not on another planet.
Yeah.
But, you know, people don't know as much about Maine, and they half of them think it's in Canada. You know, and so not only are you trying to prove for yourself and your team, but you're trying to prove for the state that, like, there is talent in Maine, and you can just see over the years between even Allie and I, so many more females are playing basketball in college and getting looks that they would have never gotten before because college coaches just didn't even know about teams from Maine. You know, mm-hmm. they just weren't as well known. But the road's definitely been paved quite a bit, for us. The first teams, people would like literally laugh and be like, are we playing them? And that would motivate, you know, for my sister, and they would step on the court and, you know, they had nothing to lose because they're just a team from Maine. Yeah. A lot of times they would prove everyone wrong. And so for us, more people are knowing about us slowly. But yeah, you definitely still get you drive tractors to school.
It's crazy, but they find out real quick. Like we said, once you get on the court and you guys proceed to kick their butts real quick. So, and it's unbelievable too. Like you mentioned, the talent in the program, like just the road's been paved. Like how many girls have come through that Firecracker program? Like just a ton of talented players. So go ahead and show some love for the Firecracker program real quick.
All right.
What is it about the Firecracker program? Obviously you mentioned your dad's involved. So
yeah.
But beyond that, what is it about the program that just, you know, produces great players, provides a spotlight and an avenue for people to get noticed and go on and play at the next level?
Again, it's honestly just doing the things other people aren't willing to do. You know, whether it's the conditioning at the end where at the beginning of the season, pretty much every year someone throws up because it's like, all right, welcome back. Like, you're here. And a lot of people just don't almost want it bad enough, you know? They're not willing to go to do the little things, like touch every single line every time, you know, be at practice 15 minutes early. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. You know, all those minor details that a lot of people don't pay attention to. They more focus on what happens in games and everything. But for us, it's a lot of like practice, honestly. We run a ton. We play against, so there are generally two national teams and they play against each other and practice a lot. So, and it's again, just really good for you because my team was playing against, you know, Anna and Kenzie and Faith. And as frustrating that is, again, because they're bigger, faster, stronger, it makes all the difference later on. But yeah, I definitely say it's doing the little things. And I obviously am biased because, again, my dad, but it's been awesome. And I'm just really lucky to be surrounded by people who want it as bad as I do and are willing to put in the extra effort. You know, they're not finishing the sprint jogging, you know, they're sprinting through every line, all that extra stuff.
So before we get up out of here, we're just going to touch on some random questions before we get up out of here. So real quick, sticking to the Firecrackers, you got to pick four other Firecrackers from, could be from the time you started. So you've been in the program for a while. So it could be anyone who came through the program during the time you've been there. You got to pick four other girls to go and win a tournament. Who were your four firecracker teammates you're bringing with you?
Well, while I've been playing or even came before me?
If you want to go all time, go for it, because you got connections to the program. So
okay, so I obviously have to choose my sisters.
That's where I thought it was going. Good first pick. Okay.
Yeah. How many am I choosing? Sorry.
Four. So you're the fifth. Or you can be the captain. You can be like the coach and you can pick five. You can either play or
I'll be the coach.
All right, so pick five.
So my two sisters, I choose Anna DeWolf, Mackenzie Holmes, and Gracie Martin.
Stacked team right there. So obviously we mentioned did not win a state championship your junior year. Got one more year to go. Just looking ahead real quick. I know it might be tough right now with COVID going on, but what's the one game you're looking for in the schedule to play next year? Maybe it's a team that beat you this past year, or just some rowdy fans. Which team or game are you looking forward to most on the senior schedule right now?
Well, Kenny Bunk.
What is it about Kenny Bunk?
We lost a super close game, and I don't like to lose.
All right. And also a very talented player down there in Kenny Bunk. Mentioned.
Yes, exactly.
Right in front of you right now, according to the ranking, player rankings, yada, yada, yada. But how about this? So coming into your senior year, three goals you have.
Win states and just get there, obviously. Just prove how much I've been working off the court and not be afraid to try the new things that I've been working on, and just being a good leader for my team, honestly.
Those are great. Those are great goals. I like those. I was hoping you were going to say Miss Basketball, Gatorade Player of the Year.
Yes, well, obviously, but I don't want to make it all about me, you know?
You're right. Those are selfish goals that I've
set. Yes, they are goals. Don't get me wrong.
So we talked about how your sister played on some great, great teams.
Yeah.
Your great Greeley team versus your sister's great Macaulay team. Who wins?
She just walked in, so that's a tough one. I might have to go with them.
Wow.
As much as it pains me, but, you know, if it's my sisters, Olivia Smith, Victoria Lux, it's pretty hard to beat.
It is tough. Okay. All right.
But, you know, it depends. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I haven't seen them play in a long time, so.
It's true. You were just a water girl back in the day last time.
Exactly.
Last time you saw them play, you've come a long way. Last question before we get up out of here. Lately, the standout girls I've been having on the podcast, I've been trying to get commitments. I'm trying to form a women's team to go compete in a tournament yet to be named. I talked to the Noonan boys, the Noonan basketball tournament a couple weeks ago. They're trying to run a women's tournament next year, so I'm trying to get a girls team in there. Can I get a commitment from you to be on this big time team? We got Emily Esposito. We got Kenzie Holmes. And I got Anna DeWolf committed so far. Do you want? Can you commit and be on that team if it happens?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We're getting stuck.
Espo would have been on my team of five, too.
Yeah, maybe there might be some issues there now that if you left her out, she might not want you.
She was at the house the other day, too.
Okay. Hopefully there's no feeling certain. We can still make it all happen because we're putting together a stacked team.
Yeah.
But any last things you want to say before we get up out of here? Anything you want to give to the people? Maybe like something to do during quarantine, during COVID? Any good suggestions for the folks out there? Anything you want to let the people know?
Puzzles, you know. But thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm honored to be asked to be on the team and to be on the podcast.
I'm excited. I'm excited too. I'm hoping that the selfish goals that I set for you come true next year. I hope you get that state championship, get that Miss Basketball before you go on to Northeastern or do big things. And we might have to have you back on during the season too, just to check in and see how things are going.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Hopefully when things get back to normal. So thank you for coming through. Ladies and gentlemen, Camille Clement on Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Make sure you're checking out all of our previous episodes YouTube, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. I think I named them all. They're all over the place. Go check them out. We'll see you next week with another big time episode of Big Time Hoops. Thank you.